Welcome back to the Global Greek Influence Podcast. I'm Panayota Pimenidou. To be up to date with news from the Global Greek Influence Podcast and suggest your topics, subscribe, like, and review the Global Greek Influence Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Anchor FM, Amazon Music, and four more podcasting platforms. You can contact the Global Greek Influence through the podcast's Facebook and Twitter accounts, the podcast website globalgreekinfluence.com and LinkedIn page. How is space exploration and politics linked? Are astropolitics an extension of geopolitics? What does the Outer Space Treaty deal with? Is our mining scarcity for specific technologies that promise to meet our future needs and challenges and exotic materials found on celestial bodies overestimated, even for groundbreaking technologies we have not conceptualized yet? But let's start with our current status. Various industrial processes and future green technologies for energy production storage rely on mining products. Mining products are used in the petroleum industry to provide various materials we use every day, such as petrol and plastics. Upgrading of heavy hydrocarbon streams through hydrocracking into lighter hydrocarbon molecules is catalytic. Catalysts used in promoting chemical reactions or accelerating the rate at which a chemical reaction reaches equilibrium include zeolites, which are minerals found from excavation of rocks on Earth, and which we know they also exist on Mars. You can listen to more details of other uses of zeolites in the episode with Dr. Vasilis Iglesakis, For All Mankind, Lunar and Deep Space Exploration, the Chemical Engineering Perspective. We also now use metals such as nickel for hydrogen production from natural gas. Additionally, many end-use products contain nickel, such as batteries, jet and wind turbines, stainless steel pots and pans, electronic equipment and water pipes. Deposits in Australia, Indonesia, South Africa, Russia and Canada together account for more than 50% of the global nickel resources, and the location plays an important role to geopolitics and disruptions to the supply chain. Lithium also is a material we use in rechargeable batteries, in electric vehicles, digital cameras, mobile phones and laptops. As of 2022, the top country in the world that has lithium reserves is Chile. The top five countries list in lithium reserves complete Australia, Argentina, China, and the United States. But we have to pay attention to the top lithium mining companies to get the geopolitical aspect of technologies rather than the countries whose geography shows where lithium reserves are found. For instance, the top one and four lithium mining companies worldwide are the Chinese Ganfeng Lithium and Tianqi Lithium, followed by the United States Albemarle Corporation, which is the largest provider of lithium for electric vehicle batteries in the world, and the Chilean SQM, along with the top fifth, which is the Australian Pilbara Minerals. So one can get a flavor of the importance of globally operating companies and geopolitics, in a sense, who accesses the markets that have the most important reserves of mining products. As we see, the environmental challenges we face, such as climate change, shifts our technological attention to more sustainable systems, operations, and applications. The fast-growing population on Earth, which results in a much faster natural resources depletion, scientists do not only focus on sustainably utilizing the existing resources, but also on identifying new methods of obtaining resources. And from this last point, we start to turn our attention beyond Earth. Asteroid mining can be treated as theoretical, mostly because of its projected and doubtful cost. Planetary resources and deep space industries cannot financially support themselves to meet the high cost of developing missions to mine celestial bodies. Speaking of costs, the example of NASA's OSIRIS REx mission to the near-Earth asteroid named Bennu is estimated at over $1 billion US dollars and is expected to obtain between 400 grams and 1 kilogram of material in a period of 7 years. Is such an investment worth it? Firstly, the space industries aim to extract exceptionally viable resources that asteroids offer. Another example is that Asterank measures a profit of approximately $1.5 trillion by mining the top 10 most cost-effective asteroids from more than 6,000 asteroids that NASA currently tracks. And by cost-effective asteroids, we mean those that are both closest to Earth and greatest in value. Also, 16 Psyche asteroid contains gold worth of 700 quadrillion United States dollars, which corresponds to $93 billion for every person on Earth. Apart from the financial benefits of astromining, we potentially reduce the environmental impact on Earth by avoiding traditional in-the-ground methods of mining, which release toxic chemicals. Of course, space ecology then comes in such projects that many now omit. At the same time, solar power satellites can become a possibly steady source of clean energy. We have to keep in mind that most of the development on asteroid mining technology focuses on extracting water to meet Earth's increased water needs, as water is also part of our sustainable goals. Could we have sustainable astromining? Sustainable space mining involves developing and applying environmentally responsible practices for the extraction and utilization of space resources and energy. We can promote sustainable space mining by implementing rigorous environmental standards and regulations to prevent harm to celestial bodies and their natural resources, developing recycling and reclamation techniques to minimize waste and extend the lifespan of resources, collaborating on multilateral agreements and frameworks to ensure responsible and equitable use of space resources, and emphasizing research and development of sustainable technologies for space mining and exploration. Are all these conditions for sustainable space mining realistic? Well, the European Union, for example, has been exploring the potential of space mining and has taken steps to support sustainable practices in the industry. In 2020, the European Space Agency signed a memorandum of understanding with the European Federation of Geologists to promote responsible and sustainable mining of space resources. The European Union's Horizon Europe program also includes funding opportunities for space-related projects aimed at improving resources extraction, and the European Union Commission has stated that space mining offers significant opportunities for innovation and economic growth. The EU is working to develop regulations for space mining activities to ensure environmental protection and responsible resource use. So the EU takes a proactive approach to space mining by promoting sustainable practices and supporting research and development in the industry. But what happens with China, the economic growth giant on Earth, with a very ambitious space program? China has been actively investing in and developing its space mining capabilities. In 2021, China launched its first commercial spacecraft dedicated to space resource mining, the NEO-1, to explore and test technologies for the extraction of resources from asteroids and the lunar surface. Even though China has proposed several ambitious plans for space mining, including proposals for asteroid mining and establishment of a lunar mining industrial base, is allegedly working to develop regulations for space mining activities to ensure sustainable and responsible practices while positioning itself as a key player in the space industry. The federal government in the United States has worked to establish regulations and promote sustainable practices in the industry, and NASA has invested in projects aimed at exploring and mining space resources, such as the Resource Prospector mission, which was cancelled in 2018. In 2015, the United States passed the Commercial Space Launch Competitiveness Act, which grants American companies the right to own and sell resources obtained from celestial bodies. This has been seen as a significant step toward promoting private sector investment in space mining and encouraging the development of sustainable practices in the industry. And speaking of private sector investment in space mining, Elon Musk, the founder of SpaceX, has been a key player in the push for space mining and resource exploitation. SpaceX has developed the Dragon spacecraft, which is capable of carrying payloads to and from space, and Falcon rockets, which can be used to transport resources and equipment for mining operations. Also, Musk has expressed interest in the potential of space mining to support the expansion of human civilization beyond Earth. However, it is important to note that SpaceX's primary focus is on space exploration and transportation, rather than resource extraction and mining, without cancelling the prospects of the Earth mogul to expand their operations that promises to bring quadrillion of US dollars to those who invest in astro mining. Another question that emerges is, who will regulate celestial bodies mining? Something that most of us do not know is that the United Nations has an office for outer space affairs, and that the United Nations passed in 1967 the Outer Space Treaty, which prohibits the stationing of weapons of mass destruction and nuclear weapons in outer space, military activities on celestial bodies, and details legally binding rules governing the peaceful exploration and use of space. The Outer Space Treaty provides the basic framework on international space law, including the principles on the exploration and use of outer space shall be carried out for the benefit and in the interest of all countries and shall be the province of all mankind, outer space that shall be free for exploration and use by all states, outer space that is not subject to national appropriation by claim of sovereignty, by means of use or occupation, or by any other means, states shall not be placing nuclear weapons or other weapons of mass destruction in an orbit or on celestial bodies or station them in outer space in any other manner. The moon and other celestial bodies shall be exclusively for peaceful purposes. Astronauts shall be regarded as the envoys of mankind. States shall be responsible for national space activities, whether carried out by governmental or non-governmental entities. States shall be liable for damage caused by their space objects and avoid harmful contamination of space and celestial bodies. Will the Outer Space Treaty be in effect when the space mining exploration by national, international, and private sector actors start? We do not really have the best experience from the practice of past UN treaties on Earth. Let us hope that what happens in space, which is expensive, challenging, and untested, will lead to mankind collaboration and not further division, so that we and future generations benefit from the possibilities of advancements and progress we anticipate and deserve. Thank you all for staying until the end. Stay tuned for another podcast episode and get notified by subscribing and following on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and 5 more podcasting platforms. Your feedback and suggestions also help us become better. Until next time. Thank you.